Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings and welcome to Hour 1.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Dunamis of Acts, Part 13, Brought Before Councils, on Battle Lines. Paul is now before a council. He at one time did what the Jews and the high priests were doing to him. He did it ignorantly, so now it begins. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 17th day of May, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are Numbers chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 20. Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 22, and also chapter 3, verse 24. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 59. To listen to the latest shows and read the articles by the Watchman, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The featured post this week, Who is Standing Guard? Unless there is someone standing guard, the thief enters in. Who is standing guard for your family, for your city, for your nation? Gun control. Talk to your guns immediately. Even our forefathers warned us of the dangers of those who would take away our nation and our rights. America, sins of thy sister Sodom. In Judah, sins and idolatry corrupted them. They were warned of their sister Sodom. It is the sins of thy sister Sodom that have corrupted you, O America. So go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to listen to the latest shows and read the articles by the Watchman. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and follow us on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Battle Lines, Dunamis of Acts, Part 13. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's a beautiful day out. Everything's in bloom.
Yes, it sure is, and we're glad.
Yes.
We're getting things in the garden and getting them out of our in-house greenhouse here.
Well, I was really excited today when I went back to lunch because we live by the river and we have wild geese down here. And they're always wandering around, and I've been expecting to see the little babies, and today I seen 7 of them. I was really excited. They're so cute, and that's always exciting to see new life, the beginning, and so it was fun. I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't have time. I was running late, so I'll get one. I was excited about that.
Well, you know, we always look forward to seeing them. We do get a lot of the little babies. We also get ducks. We have the turkeys that have been around here. They've even been up in the trees because we're in that roosting season now. We also have a lot of other different kinds of wildlife down here. And we have deer and antelopes over the hill, and we have coyotes. You can hear them at night a lot of times. There have also been elk that's been seen down here. So we do have a lot of wildlife, and of course in the river we got trout. So this stream is one time was billed a blue ribbon trout stream because of the amount of trout per mile. And I haven't fished it for a long time, but it does have some big fish in this particular thing. This goes to the lakes and the runoff from the mountain. So, and the mountain is gorgeous here. It's over 9,500 feet. So all this rain, we've had tons of rain, and that's really just made everything totally green. But today
Oh, I was going to say one more thing. You know what else we see down here is raccoons, and then we also see...
I did say other critters.
Yeah, and deer. We've had deer in, right out front of us.
Yeah. I mentioned deer, too.
Did you? I wasn't listening, I guess.
No, but that's true. Tower is right. And another place where we were living, I opened up the front door one morning. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was doing, that's when I was, I'm a scratch French baker. At least I was at that time. And so I was getting up pretty early to go in and get all the French, I did them fresh every day, the French pastries and stuff. And I opened up the door, and there was about 4 deer. And one of them was looking right at me. I mean, I came within a foot of him. I mean, it was that close. He was right there at the door.
Well, we were feeding, we were buying corn cobs or something.
Yeah, we were throwing corn out
for the squirrels.
For the squirrels and for a lot of the birds. But
they were coming around to
eat. Deer,
it.
The deer moved in. So the deer was as surprised as I was. So,
and off they ran.
Yeah, they probably never got that close to a human before. But so at any rate, I was going to say that we have found another place where we're going to be doing a lot of our mega uploads. We have a lot of past history of extensive audios. And I've had a lot. I've got storage here, but we're going to have to, we'll be backing up our website even more. We already have a place that backs it up, but we're going to take all the audios off of it and put it where it's pretty well safe. And so at any rate, it'll be, matter of fact, the audios and everything is in a place that's not in America. It's somewhere in the world. And it's specially encrypted. It's run by people that took heed to Snowden's warnings. And so it has a number of sites around, but
yeah, that's good.
And I did send a few of of those people who were pretty close in correspondence with me when our site went down. Excuse me. But And we are working on a host, go to another host, but it's not that easy because our website is so big. And, excuse me, got something in my throat. I mean, besides the things that need to be there.
Do you need a drink of water?
I did, dear.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that doing all this is never easy. And, of course, we've got a lot of things, you know, this comes at a time when we got a lot of things going. And it was pretty inopportune. So now I have to stop everything and concentrate on this. So, I mean, that's the way it is. So, at any rate. And we're again here. We're getting close to finishing up our Acts series. And when we're done with this, we do have another exciting series coming, and it will be the Gospel of John. And it's probably my favorite gospel. I mean, it's probably my favorite book in the entire New Testament. I like all of them, you know, but John has a personal witness that, there's a reason his book was written. That's to testify to the Son of God. So at any rate, we got a lot of things going on around here, and where you're at, we hope that everything is fine. And there's just a lot of things happening. I got a notice from one of our email people that we work with who actually put up our, some of our, did the script and everything, provided for us to do some of the things with our email. Which is what they do anyway. And so it's just like everybody's updating everything. Everybody's updating privacy. Everybody's updating terms. I mean, everybody. It's just like, you know, and everybody's updating all their apps, and they're updating all their software, and Microsoft never stops updating. And, dear, you know, it's just like, you know, give me a break.
Oh,
just
know.
Slow down, you know. But there is so much that they have to keep constantly warning against. And we have a lot of tools that we use. And we do have, we did have a second set of tools. We had plenty of tools to protect the website. Actually, the website didn't get hacked. I say that, but really, that's not the truth. The files wound up missing. All of them, you know, at the host.
Yeah, that there was something going on with that.
You know, so I still don't know how all the files could have just disappeared without having a hack, because our website wasn't hacked. I mean, it just disappeared. I know what a hack looks like. We have had hacks before, but this was weird.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I have no clue as to why they suddenly disappeared on Fast Domain where we were at, but that's why I'm moving it. And I'm waiting to hear from a few of them, and I got another one that has given me a solid offer, but let me tell you, the costs are up there, you know, because today I just got us, I had to pay for a year for our storage, and then I've got to start moving everything. And it's just like all the time costs. And some of you have, you know, and I appreciate your financial support to help us, because we have had some stuff come in specifically to help us, and we appreciate that, because this is not it's not easy, and it's not cheap, and you know, it's just the way it is. But I want to tell you that when it comes to the show, when it comes to Warren Radio and anything, you need to be downloading everything. I was into our archives, and do you realize we got archives and interviews that are active interviews going clear back to 2008, and many of them were people that I no longer really deal with. L.A. Marzulli, I don't have nothing against him. I went my way, he went his, and I stopped doing interviews and concentrated on the Word of God. That's what the Lord put in my heart to do, and that's what I've done. And I still continue to get books and other things, and I'm not going to rule out doing an interview. I have a book I'm looking at from a guy that I've known. I go way back with him. Matter of fact, he was one that actually sold my book in his store on his thing, and I know him. You know, the bottom line of it is that what I'm saying is we have got extensive playlists and files and stuff that, you know, It has been produced over years, and it took a lot of effort to get them there. It took a lot of effort to keep them there. And so there's some of you that know what I'm talking about. You need to download and get this stuff and put it somewhere, because one of these days you're not going to have the Word of God. They're going to stop all this online, I guarantee you.
Yep,
and you'll find
sure
the Whore Church. And I don't have a date. I'm not a date setter. You need to just walk with the Lord. Enjoy every day He gives you. Enjoy your family. Life is too short, folks. And you need to enjoy life in the eyes of God, and enjoy Him as your Creator. Enjoy Him as your Savior. Enjoy Him as your Provider. And enjoy Him also as the one who will keep you from all evil. Now, I've spoken about that before. And otherwise, be sure to get back in the archives. Go back as far as you can. And if you get on Warren USA and you're having trouble finding stuff, let me know and we'll see what we can do. Because I haven't started yet, because I have to wait for a few things. Number one, I can't start downloading when I'm doing the shows, so that makes it really hard for me. Other people can download anytime. I can't, because all my systems will be tanked. So we have to be careful how we do this. I have a lot of files already that I have backed up already automatically, I have years worth of audios, but online they're there, they're in their posts and everything like that. And these are some great interviews with L.A. Marzulli and a lot of others that and if you're a recent listener in the last few years, you've never heard these interviews at all. And of course we talk about a lot of stuff, so at any rate, and of course we have years worth of just plain prophecy news, you know, in the old days. So it's just hard to believe how much stuff we got on that website, Tower.
Oh, I know. It's incredible. Years and years.
And we don't have all of them we ever made, because we started, we've been doing this for over 20 years. In the early days, I had to use special code and write the code had to be, it was special script in order to call it and bring it in there. And it wasn't like it is today. You had to literally put the code into the thing and call it and get this thing. And things have totally changed. The threats have totally changed. We are in a new ball game right now. And I can tell you, online is dangerous right now.
Yes, it is.
And your computer, I can guarantee, is threatened. You know, all your ID is threatened, all your personal information. You need to pay attention to what's going on. And your kids, you need to protect them. So this is a warning going out. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've been online for over 20 years doing this. But even before that, here in where we're at in this neck of the woods, I was online when, AOL first came online. I was online.
Yeah, was a long time ago.
Yeah, when the download speeds were nothing. When you didn't even have an internet, you had phone lines, you'd dial, and you could dial over to a guy's computer and get on his message board and leave things. That's the way it was. So we're talking about the evolution of a product here, and to be honest with you folks, this in its form is going to corrupt this generation even more. This is a corrupting influence. This thing is damnable. We manage to squeeze out things for the Lord, but I'm telling you, there are so many threats online here, you have no idea. Maybe you do, but, that's the way it is. And because of this, we've been able to connect with people around the world. We've been able to connect with people in that are in persecuted areas. And we've been able to reach and report news on areas that are absolutely dangerous for believers. And we've not just talked about believers. We've talked about the Kurds. We've talked about Rojava. We've talked about a lot of things. And matter of fact, the West has done a lot of things to go against a lot of people they shouldn't in Syria. So Syria is a problem. And the whole world is in a mess. But the Lord's coming. So I'm going to
have... Thank God. Amen.
I got to do this, Tower.
Okay, so I'll see you on the other side.
So we are plugging down the road, part 13, brought before councils. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, there's a saying, it's, you know, what goes around comes around. But there's another thing, and you'll find it in the Bible. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. And, you know, when Paul got saved, the Lord told the guy that came to Annas, who came to pray for him in Acts, that he was going to be an instrument for the Lord and that he would... suffer for his name's sake. I mean, he would do things. And Paul, of course, got sold. You know, he was convinced. And he turned against what he was doing and followed the Lord. And we're talking about a guy that was very, very zealous for the Lord. And so he did persecute the church, and he was a direct representative of the high priest. He had power. And now he is standing before the council. These would have been the very ones that knew him. These would have been his peers, unless, of course, the whole thing changed, because it had been years ago. A lot of years have passed since Paul really stood in Jerusalem before the council, especially condemned. And the high priest is Ananias, but we go back to the guy that prayed for him. His name is Annas. Is that what it is? It's in when he got converted. But at any rate, it's been a lot of years. And so a lot of the original Sanhedrin and even the high priest himself has changed. So a lot of things have changed. And here we are. Paul, standing before the council. Acts 23:1. He says, "Brethren, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And that means he didn't do anything that would have been offensive to the Lord. And he says, "I have lived." Now, of course, he's repented of the fact of what he had done to the early church. But this is, "I have lived" is a past tense, but it's going back in what he has been doing. And even before he became a Christian, he still lived in good conscience before God. He says he did it ignorantly. He believed he was doing God a service. He believed that that was what he should have been doing. And really, you know, this is the beginning of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So a lot of Jews didn't know. And Paul was one of them, but he was very, very well placed. And when I think of Paul, I think of Daniel. Daniel was well placed. And so he says, "I've lived in all good conscience." And that also keeps, you know, includes keeping the law. He had kept the law, he said, blamelessly. Now, of course, now he has come to the Lord. And when you get into it and you study him, you're going to find out that he did keep Passover. And he did honor the Sabbath and do a lot of things. But he didn't do them like he did before, because now he was justified by faith. And of course, this is where the Gentile church always has problems, and that is, how can you follow the things in the law, like the Sabbath, and still be saved? Well, it's very, very simple. You're not saved by the law. By the law, no flesh will be justified. And, you know, you believe in Christ, and his blood shed, you know, was shed for you. In verse 2, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. And of course, you know, you could say, you know, this priest did this just to show him who was boss. And they that stood, and Paul said to him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For thou sittest, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. And, of course, Paul knew the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? And Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And of course, I might not have been so accommodating, you know, but Paul, you know, one of the things, if you read his teachings in the epistles, you know, to the Jew, I became a Jew, to the Gentile, I became a Gentile, etc. He did what it took to win him for the Lord. And it says in verse 6, but when Paul perceived, now this is the group that's around him, one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. Now see, he believes in Yahshua. But the one thing about Yahshua is, he was the first fruits. He fulfilled that, the first of the first fruits, which means he came from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead, fully alive. He was fully dead, fully alive. He became fully alive. And you know, Paul says, you know, in other places, not here, but, you know, if we have hope in this life only of Jesus Christ, then we are of all creatures most miserable. Now, some people try to tell you that as a Christian, it's enough just to be a Christian in this life. No, it's not. That isn't why Christ died. Yes, we can have a good life here, or we can be persecuted here. There's a lot of things that life can throw at you. But without having an eternal life and being resurrected from the dead and joining him in the kingdom of God, we have nothing. And so the whole key to what Christ did, of course, there's forgiveness, but forgiveness brought the hope and the resurrection of the dead. And he put it this way in order to bring this fact out to the Pharisees, who believe in the same thing. They just don't believe in it through Christ Jesus. He didn't say that part. He just says, well, that's what I'm believing in. That's exactly what he's believing in. He didn't lie here. He just said that's what I'm doing. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. And that's exactly what he wanted, because a house divided cannot stand. Because in verse 8, it explains why in Acts, for the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. You die, you die, you know. And there's a lot of Sadducees around here. And one way you can remember this is that they believe there's no resurrection, or angel, or spirit. That's why they're sad, you see. And that's one way you can remember it. The sad you sees have no hope. Not of resurrection. They don't believe in angels or spirits. So when you die, you die. But the Pharisees believe in all of this. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel have spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Now see, that's the good part of the Pharisees, is because they still, you know, count in the fact that an angel or a spirit could have spoken to Paul. And so they don't want to discount anything out. Now, if you're a Pharisee and you follow the law, you don't want to discount anything in the law out. But Christ, when he came, you know, he said, you can do as the Pharisees teach, but don't do as they do. The Pharisees will quote things straight out of the law, but they didn't do them. And so there was a problem in here. Now, of course, Paul would have been alive and would have known and would have seen the Lord. And yet Paul was blinded the whole time. It wasn't until the very end, you know, after the Lord was in heaven, that Paul actually was wakened up by the Lord. And so you've got groups there that are starting to fight over Paul. You know, and so in verse 10 it says, And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them. Now that, you just think about this. The chief captain of the guard, a Roman, a Gentile, unless, of course, this was the, you know, the guard of the high priest, the ones that he had. He commanded his own little group. But at any rate, they're watching this whole thing go on. And they feared that he would get pulled in pieces because you have both groups pulling on him. And, I mean, you really got to be pulling hard in order to get someone that's watching thinking you're going to pull him in half. So this was quite a hassle. This was a problem. When we read this and we say there arose a great dissension, we don't fully appreciate how much of a chaos this was. And this is exactly what Paul wanted. He wanted him to be divided. And so he could tell him. He wanted to stand up and tell him something, but he had to get their attention. So this is what he did. And so he says, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. So they had to go rescue the guy. And of course, you know, I envision Paul being a smaller man, thin, but very, very staunch. He could stand his ground. He was absolutely fearless. And that night, and the night following, the Lord stood by him. Now see, I like this. Because Paul just had a horrific experience. Now see, all the way up to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit witnessed to him that imprisonment and chains and bonds awaited him. And Agabus prophesied to him, as well as others, that told him not to go up to Jerusalem. They all, the people, you know, that knew of him, that knew that he was a leader in spreading the gospel to the Gentiles, was very, very a man of renown. I mean, they knew him. This is a guy that studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He had personal contact with Sanhedrin, with the guards, with the enforcement arm of the temple and the high priest. And, you know, I mean, he even took on trying to waste the church of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is a guy that once he came to the Lord, no Jew could stand before him and debate with him about the Lord. None of them could. He was so good. And when he writes, all of his writings, sometimes, even Peter said, they're hard to understand, and many people have misinterpreted some of the things he said. Because Paul was so educated and so adept at this, nobody could stand him. So this is one of the reasons many of them would follow him around. They hated him, because they felt that he betrayed Judaism. And so, you know, now he's in the thick of it. And he just got through in this major thrust with a bunch of Jews, Sadducees and Pharisees, and it was chaos. And if it hadn't have been for the soldiers, he would have been killed, more than likely. But they rescued him. So now at night, he's had a chance to have a breather. And you can bet that he's been praying. You can bet that, you know, he's probably really glad that he's where he's at, that he's not out there still facing the crowd. Because when you are in bonds, you know, and this is tough, folks. And we did a story of a woman who testified about Evan Prison. And Saeed Abedini was in Evan Prison. We prayed for him extensively. And see, when you're in a certain evil place like that, you never know what's going to happen every day. And so there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of concern. And so the Lord wants him to go to Rome. And so he says this, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So this is the commandment. Now he knew, you know, in the end he was going to go to Rome. But he knew also that trip to Rome would be through Jerusalem. I believe that you can tell that he did know. And he hadn't gotten the word yet. And of course, when you're dealing, you know, with doing things for the Lord, it's on a need-to-know basis. When you need to know, he will tell you. And until then, you have the Word of God, you have prayer and the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's told now. Now see, the good point about this, folks, is that we get reports today from around the world of people that the Lord appeared to, Muslims that got saved, of Muslims who are now Christian being persecuted, and they get delivered supernaturally. We see some of the same characteristics in Acts in the world today going on overseas. And they're in some of the most detrimental, dangerous places for Christians on the face of this earth. And so the devil still scores some mighty victories by killing Christians because of those who are sold out to evil. It is a battle. But even if they kill us, we shall live. The Lord said, "Do not fear them who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and destroy the soul. Yea, fear him." And when Joshua, Caleb, you know, Joshua was the head, and he took over for Moses, and Caleb, of course, followed him in. Caleb and Joshua were one of the originals of the spies. And when they were going into the promised land, the Lord, through Moses, and the Lord told Joshua as well, you know, you're not going in fear. You're going in faith. I mean, you're going to trust me. I will go before you, and you cannot allow, and I'm paraphrasing, their looks to scare you, to persuade you. And see, the enemy will threaten you, the enemy, and even the devil, you know, he'll threaten you, he'll bring up thoughts in your mind, do anything he can to scare you. Now see, you need to learn not to fear this stuff. See, and this is why I catch myself all the time. Because I purpose, and I've told you this many, many times, that I had purpose not to live in fear, but faith. And see, when I read here that the Lord stood by Paul, see, Scripture says God is no respecter of persons. Now, I believe the Lord will stand by any of his people today. if they need a word from him. And I believe the Lord will send an angel to intervene if they need a word. You see, I believe that. Now, you may not believe it, but I believe that. I don't care what other denominations believe. I don't care what other pastors believe. I don't care what secularists say. I don't care. I know what the Word says. I know what the Spirit of God put within me, and that's what I'm going to go with. And I chose to believe and have faith that the Lord would make a way for me and my family and for all who would listen to me on air. Because I can't affect the ones that don't hear me. But the ones who do hear me, I urge you to understand this. We are not to live in fear, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And that is what we're to use in these last days. As well, he said, if they persecute you here, go to another place. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We don't postulate with the enemy by a greater force. We postulate with the enemy through the power of God. And that's what I believe. And I believe as we read this in Acts, this thing here is a living, breathing experience that God is saying to the church today, listen and have faith. I am a God that does not have favoritism. I love you and I will be there. You need to have faith and believe and call upon me. Let me direct your steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, not might, shall direct your paths. It's by the word of God, my friends. This is the word of God. I don't care what the people that don't believe it don't make any difference to me whatsoever. You know, I may live in America, but I belong to Christ. I may live in America, but my home is in heaven with him. Actually, that home's going to be on this earth at the right time. And God will live here with us. And the new heavenly spiritual Jerusalem will be here too. Now let's go to verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now this is exactly, you know, and I think it's part of that Arab culture. Ishmael is like this. He said he would be, you know, in the face of every man. Ishmael has that temper in your face, and you can see that in the line of Ishmael. But in the line of Isaac, you can also see some of this. And the Jews themselves, even in modern times, have been known to pinpoint Christians and target them in Jerusalem, Messianic Jews. And of course, this comes to us from one of the ministries that work there that I interviewed quite a number of years ago. But there are ministries there, and they know how this works. Now, Israel, for her part, has worked hard to combat that. But see, so this is in the time of Roman occupation. But see, the Jews have their own temple. The Jews have their high priest. They even have their so-called prophets there. And they're able to live and work even with the Romans in charge. But it's not okay for Jews to band together and kill a Roman citizen. And it says, and there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing till we have slain Paul. Now, see, they're either going to lie with that curse, make an excuse why they can't complete it, because Paul is going to escape. The scripture says quite plainly, don't make foolish vows. If you make a vow, you make it before God, and before God, you have to fulfill the vow, whatever that is. You always hear people talking about, especially on a deathbed, oh God, if you let me live, I'm going to live for you forever. Or whatever, you know. Don't make foolish vows, folks, because you're lying to God. And it says, don't swear by his throne and don't swear by hell. That's your yea be yea and your nay nay. Don't swear. But there are times that we do swear. Who is your Lord? Who is your God? I believe in Yahshua, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the Son of Almighty God and our Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, even Yahweh, the great and mighty and most revered God, who has given us of that his only begotten Son, who did come because of love. That is the truth. And by heaven, I swear that this is the truth. There is one God and our Father and one Lord Jesus Christ, and all the persecution, all the denial is not going to change that. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And our Father, the Father of spirits, the Father of just men made perfect, is watching it all. And he has given it into the hands of his Son. Because his Son is coming as the greater Son of David, the warrior king. Who David is and was the warrior king, but Yahshua is the greater Son of David, the warrior king of Almighty God. And he's going to come and put down all the enemies of the Lord God and bring in the kingdom. That's what you and I are waiting for. And all the lies on earth, all the lies in heaven, and all those on earth who swear by heaven but tell lies, everything shall be put down. It will all come down. All nations will be judged. Every policeman, every judge, every teacher, every person, every parent, everybody will face judgment. Okay, verse 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him privately, and asked him, what is it that you have to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart, and charged him, see thou that you tell no man that you have showed us these things, or showed these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea. Now that's what we call. That's an escort. You know, God, you know, when the Lord sent his prophets and warned them they needed to repent, you know, he told them that if you fight me and come against me, I will be your enemy. But if you'd accept the judgment that God would give you favor in the land of your captivity. And you can look at Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were just examples. So make no mistake. You know, don't threaten God. Don't work. And so they went down. And they took beasts, and they put, that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this matter. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews, and should have been killed of them. Then I came with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. Now see, this is the difference between being a Roman and being a Jew that wants to kill someone because they're getting in the way of your faith. And they want to kill Paul because he is one of the staunch leaders of this new movement now. And none of them can stand against him. So this is what he's saying. He might have done something according to their law, but nothing to be worthy of death. He didn't do anything like that. And when it was told me how the Jews laid in wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the morrow they left horsemen to go with him and return to the council, who, when they came to Caesarea, delivered the epistle to the governor and presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Now that's the end of chapter 23. And we are going to, we've got a few more left. We've got, I found the end. But we do have quite a bit left. It'll probably be next week before we really get this thing taken care of. Now we're at about 52 minutes, and so I'm gonna stop there, and I like to stop at a certain thing, especially for a lot of our because we do want to break these into shorter segments, and we do this for a reason. We do this to make it easier to download, and we are noticing the downloads are a lot easier. We have a lot more people downloading them now. And so if you're listening to us on Spreaker or iHeartRadio or any one of the others, send this link around and let them hear and help us spread the word as far as we can. And we can't do this without you, neither can the Lord. We want people to hear the word, and we want them to hear the truth. So tell your friends, and of course, if you know that they don't like this kind of stuff, then you probably better not do it until you have a chance to talk with them. And, you know, because I remember old David Wilkerson trying to do a lot of this, send some of his letters around. He said, these are pretty fiery. Those are my words. And he says, don't sign anybody up for my email list if they don't like this. And so he had always warned people, you know, you sign up to this, there's going to be a fire. That good old David Wilkerson. He's in a good place now. Well, folks, we're gonna break off here, and we'll come back. We're in Acts 24. And so we'll see you on the other side. And be a few minutes, but we'll be back.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, May 17th, 2018, and you are listening to Warren Radio. Be sure to Join us tomorrow night on Sound the Shofar for Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 1, Last Days. And now I welcome back the Watchman for Dunamis of Acts, Part 13, brought before councils.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're in Chapter 24 and Verse 1. You know, when all else fails, you get the biggest, baddest lawyer, orator, educated, somebody that you can say, hey, we need help persecuting this fellow. We need to find him guilty, and we'll pay you really good money if you come show up. And so the guy puts on his best clothes, shines his badges up, and comes with the high priest against this upstart pagan Jew now, because they don't like Paul. And they're going to crucify him. Yeah, this is what this is about, folks. This is a death march. They want this guy dead. And they are bringing out the big guns. Yep. Whenever the devil really wants someone bad enough, you can believe he's got some bad guy somewhere that can take you out. Legally, yeah, he's got some of the nastiest lawyers on earth. Yeah, they'd convict their own mother if you paid them enough. So, after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, oh yeah, he's doing this for God, you know. And really, this is what these people believe. And you can actually go back. I mean, you can. It's in the Torah, you know. You have to defend the faith. And, you know, they're willing to lie about it. But, you know, a few little white lies in the process of justice, they don't have any problems with. But they see Paul. And so Ananias, 5 days after Paul has arrived, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Yeah, informed. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Now see, before you ever get to lie in court, you want to be sure to, congratulate, brush up, brown nose the judge. I mean, that's important. So the Jews, very good. You know, they're very good at this. And they were throughout all the Roman Empire. They're still good at it. They know how to do it. And so they're brushing up this dude. We accept it always. Yeah, sure, we love you. We just absolutely, you know, and in all places, yeah. Most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Of course, this is what Felix wants to know, but, you know, he likes things like this, but you'd think he'd be smart. He probably understands they're just buttering him up. You know, that's when you need someone that says, okay, get to the point. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. See, he wants to get that part in too, because being a good orator, he knows that Felix hears all of the statements. You know, you always want to come up with something that's original. You want to come up with something that not everybody's saying, because everybody that appears before Felix is going to say, oh, wonderful Felix, we just love you to death. You know, you're just great, and you're just doing all these great things, and, you know, a little bit of butter on a good crispy piece of toast, you add a little bit of salt. See, that's what they want to do. They want to butter him up. They want to make it delicious for him. They want to bring him in. Come on and join us. We're having a feast here. This guy is evil. You know, we love you, you know. But he also has to say, well, you know, he knows. So he admits it. He says, that I be not further tedious, you know, because Felix is sitting there. Yeah, I've heard this before. I pray that you would hear us of thy clemency a few words. See, they don't want clemency for Paul. But see, the problem they have is, number one, Paul is not just a Jew. not just a former powerful Jew that knows how they do things in the Sanhedrin, how they do things in the temple. And you won't believe what happened. We just lost everything. I have no idea why. Yeah, hang on a minute. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I don't know. There's... not much I can do until this thing comes back. I don't know what happened to it. It just went fishing. So, at any rate. And I think we're still on audio and everything. Well, I know, but everything went dark. I don't have nothing. And don't ask me. I have no clue. But I do have a solution here. And hopefully when we get done with this, I can get this thing back. It's been a fun, it's been a fun few days. Okay. You know, the amazing thing about it, quite a lot of years ago, someone printed something called a Bible. And see, that was before they come up with all this great, grand... internet digital baloney. So in case you don't know what it is, this is a Bible. I mean, if you happen to see this. So at any rate, we're in chapter 24. Yep, there it is. How do you like that? Now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down. Now we covered that. I'm reading it to you out of the Word of God. This is my Bible. I really do have one, I just don't do it online. came down with the elders in a certain order named Tertullus. This is really the way you need to be preaching the Word of God. Y'all need to be here. We'd be sitting around doing this. That's the way they do it in a lot of places where they're persecuted. They sit around in small groups and they read the Word, folks, and they encourage one another. This is how God does it, and His Spirit is in the midst of them. It's not the bricks and stones. They're helpful. It's nice to have nice churches. But, folks, the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, there's redemption, and there's every good work. And of course... Verse 4, nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear, try your courtesy, a few words from us, all Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Pharisees. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him. Now see, that's a lie. And... So at any rate, if you can believe that, you know, you read this stuff and you think, you know, dear God, it hasn't changed. You know, we see this throughout the world, and when we follow the persecution, you know, these people that get in there and they'll get before the authorities in some of these Muslim lands and even Hindu lands. You know, and you find this also in the EU. We were talking about that last night. You know, Christians get the short end of the stick because the people lie. They just out and out lie. See, that's the way it's done. So he even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands. Oh, yeah. You see, this sounds as if this guy did a grievous error that Paul absolutely was terrible. And, you know, you couldn't do anything else. And so, But the commander came and took him. Yeah, the commander. Yeah, it's all this commander's fault. We were innocent. We weren't going to do anything. Yeah, you tried to pull him in half. You tried to pull him in half. You threatened the guy's life by doing this. And now you're sneaking up like the worm you are. This is my commentary, by the way. We see this overseas. This is, you know, nothing's changed with the way the devil does stuff. They send these slick lawyers in, these orators and all the rest of them. Oh, yeah, they're slick. This is the way the devil did it in the Garden of Eden. He's a liar and a sneak and a thief. And thank God Christ came to deliver us and succeeded. He triumphed openly over all principalities and powers. Dear God in heaven, thank you for that. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands. Can you believe that? I mean, you've been with me, right? Yeah. You know what he said. Commanding his accusers to come to you, by examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented and maintaining that these things were so. Can you believe that? You know, I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely hard to reckon when you think about it. And then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself." See, this is Paul. "Because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me." Now see, that is good defense. This guy is a slick willy, lying, you know what, and he's representing the Jews and the high priest. They're supposed to be the righteous in Judah, and you wonder why God sent judgment upon the temple and the priests. Remember that? Jeremiah warned them. Oh, dear God in heaven, you think it's any different today? I mean, you need to understand who's at the top of some of these denominations and these churches that you have in this country and around the world. Just because they're in a church with a cross doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. You need to seek the Lord and understand who you're seeking. So at any rate, let's get back to this. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worshipped the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now did you hear that? He said, believing all the things written in the law and the prophets. He says that I was in the way, but I still believed the things written in the law and the prophets. So don't tell me Paul had nothing to do with the law. That's misrepresentation. It's really clear right here. He says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, except they're liars and they can't prove what they're saying. Paul's trying to tell them the truth. He is telling the truth, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And, you know, he didn't put this in, but he should have said, and you people standing there accusing me are going to be right up in the front of the line. But he didn't say that. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and man. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here themselves say if they have found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. You know, and this is amazing stuff. You know, he stands there and he just looks at all the Jews and he gets this thing done. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. Okay, we're back. I don't know. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why she went fishing, but something happened. And so at any rate, we are here. Where are we at? We're 16 minutes. And we're still missing a few things, but I think we can go on if we can keep this thing. I don't know. It's really weird. And of course, this is beside the point. I can tell you why this thing is acting weird, but now, oh, we lost a page here. Now, we're at Felix. Now, see, I like Paul's defense here. And, okay, let me. You see that? That's called a Bible. A few minutes, we've been, suddenly the screen, everything went blank. We were still recording, by the way. And we were also doing both the audio and the video. It's really weird. Of course, I'm using Windows 10. I have from the beginning. And I wish they'd leave it alone. But at any rate, that's beside the point. But we made it through it. And of course, I like Paul's defense. I really do. When you're up against a slick willy, the only thing you can do is tell the truth. Now, see, they can't prove it. Now, see, in the Roman Empire, see, this is the thing. You know, like, we can go to Pakistan, and we can go to India. In India, we find persecution of Christians by Hindus. The other place, you know, Pakistan, by the Muslims. And time and time again, we've reported on Christians who got in trouble over there. Lies from those that surround them in order to get them to shut up. But see, both of those countries guarantee freedom of religion. And they're supposed to be protecting it, but they don't. And many places, the blaspheming against Muhammad is used, even when the Christians don't even do anything. And so we've seen this time and time again being used, and although their constitution and even their judges in some of the higher courts tell them they can't do it on the local level, they do it anyway. Because that's where the power structure is. And see, all the cops and the people that are enforcing on a local level, they have to go to the same mosque as all the others, and so their lives and families are threatened, so they all just kind of don't follow the law. Now see, if we get into the Jews thing here, you know, the Jews pretty much had their own thing going. Now, by the time this thing is done, you're going to find that, of course, the Roman general Titus came in and wiped the whole thing out and stopped it all because there was so much wickedness going on. But see, we don't know what's happening in Israel today with the high priest and if they do this kind of thing. But we know that during the way, they were doing these kind of things. And we know that the way this is, just lying and bringing forth charges around the world, we've seen it with Christians. And we see it, for instance, with Erdogan and Pastor Brunson, who didn't do anything, just got in trouble for preaching the gospel. Now see, this is the way they do it, and they continue to do it today like that. So when you are a Christian and you're with the Lord and on his side, the other side is not always going to play fair. And so this is where we're at. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now see, here you go. Now you have Paul, and he is confessing, you know, before rulers. Now see, the Lord talked about that. You'll be brought before councils and before kings and rulers as a testimony against them. So when they stand before the Lord, that testimony, you had my servant there, You had my servant Paul there, and he told you the truth, and you wouldn't listen to him. And see, this is, it's about testimony. That's why in Revelation it says they overcame, Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That means you're saved. You know him. Blood of the Lamb. That's the blood of the covenant. You've been born again and saved. The word of your testimony, and you loved your lives, not unto death. That's the way it is. And Paul is going right in there, you know. I mean, he's being brought, and of course, he is a high-profile character, I mean, guy. You know, here, you've got these two forces that are meeting head-on in the Roman Empire. And eventually, of course, the Roman judicial system is going to go haywire when you get some of these nutty Caesars in there, you know, and they're going to persecute Christians and kill them. And, well, eventually Christianity takes over the Roman Empire. And so now as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Now see, Paul was talking to him about faith in Christ and was reasoning with him about righteousness and self-control. Righteousness, of course, that had been righteousness through Christ. Self-control, of course, that has to do with the lust of the flesh and everything in this world. And, you know, and the judgment to come. And, of course, when you get into self-control and righteousness and realize there's a judgment to come, you know, there's only one way to get through it, and that's through Christ. Now, see, this is where Felix begins to start being afraid. Now, see, the fear is the beginning of wisdom, but there's also a fear that drives you away from God. But the fear of the Lord, the true fear of the Lord, brings you into that point where you realize who God is, realize your own state, and gives you a choice whether you're going to do something about it by confessing your sin and repentance. Now, I chose to repent. I chose to follow the Lord. Not everybody does. And many of you that hear me, you chose to repent. Everybody has that decision. God is not going to make them. But he will hold them accountable for what they do. And he will hold accountable all Christians for what they do as well. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conferred with him. Now, see, Paul wasn't about going to give him money. That's not what Christianity was about. Paul, number one, knew that he had to go to Rome. He knew that everything would work out, and he would be in Rome because he had to testify. And this Felix, the governor, may be powerful, but he's not more powerful than God. And the only reason Paul is there is because God saw to it that that commander there on the ground in Jerusalem would take Paul by force, protect him, and get him to a place where Paul could further the journey. Now, see, this is furthering the journey. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. So it takes a while here for Paul to get where he's going to be. And sometimes you may think that in God's economy everything goes fast. No, it goes according to God's plan, not according to yours. And I've even told you know, pastors overseas in the native church, you know, that this is God's timing, not their timing. And everybody needs to be reminded that in all that God does, it's his timing, not your timing. And sometimes even the best prophecy experts look at the Word of God and they still don't know the time, even though they may think they know the time. Everything is in the hands of the Lord and his timing. And if God gives you another day and the end hasn't come, just praise God, move on, and enjoy the day, and thank God, live with him, be thankful in him for what he's done, pray for your family, pray protection, you know, and be that witness for God. And now we're at 25. Now, of course, we're at Festus. Now, when Festus had come to the province after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him that he would summon him to Jerusalem. while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. You know, I mean, if you're thinking about the Jews that said that they wouldn't eat, you know, until they kill him, well, I can guarantee you they didn't die. They found a reason not to do it anymore, and so they went ahead and ate. But the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor that he would summon him to Jerusalem. See, I mean, you know, there's an old adage, once a fool, always a fool. Well, see, Festus isn't a fool. And so this is what Festus does. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. And, of course, this is the seriousness of the crime. But, see, Paul knows the end. Paul knows that they're not going to do anything there. They know that he's got to go to Rome. And Rome he's going to go. You know, when the Lord reveals things to you, when the Lord gives you guidance, I mean, that's where you're going. Men may try to stop you. The devil may try to throw in people in there to try to stop the will of God. But God's will is going to go on. And see, this is what you have to understand. It's God's will. Now see, if you know the Lord, you have his word, and you're seeking him, you know, there is a will of God within these pages right here called the Bible. And God help the men that don't believe this is the word of God. Now there's a lot of people who call the word of God and it's different things. This is the Christian Bible, the King James Version. And we use this as a rule and thumb of faith and practice. This is what you need to be in if you want truth. And see, the Spirit of God will reveal it to you. And so, here we are now. And when he had come, when Paul had appeared before the judgment seat, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Well, they're still doing that today. We talked about that. But, you know, I mean, somehow they think, we'll just accuse him of everything and maybe something will stick. You know, it's like you have a bow and a quiver full of arrows, and you shoot at the target and you miss. So you're just unload all the arrows and hope something hits. Well, if you're a bad shot, you ain't going to hit the target no matter how many arrows you get. Maybe one by accident. And if you're a liar and a thief, yeah, you have a whole list of charges, and they're all lies. And we see this in today's society. We have a lot of liars, even in the news. And they have a propensity to lie, and they convince themselves it's the truth. Now, see, if you're a Christian, you need to look through this baloney. But see, this society... We're not a theocracy here. We're not even close to it. Israel was a theocracy, and look what happened to them. Yeah, they got in trouble. And they're still suffering for their sins. To this day, they're still suffering. But one day, it's going to be covered and going to be done with. Now, there's a lot of Messianic Jews who know the Lord. They're not suffering because they've already repented, and whatever happened in the Old Testament is still in the Old Testament. But I guarantee you today that there's Jews living in Israel, and the detrimental part of the judgment of God against Israel for doing what they did is still reaching the Jews in Israel today. And it'll continue to be, and the whole focus of prophecy is going to be there. So don't let anybody tell you that it's somewhere else. And so they're not proving the lies, go figure. And while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Now see, this is very important. Now I was talking about Paul and the law before. Now look at what he says here in verse 8. Acts 25 verse 8. Now you need to remember this. Because there's been a whole line of teaching for many, many decades that Paul had nothing to do with the law. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And that's also a misunderstanding of the law. Total misunderstanding. It's misunderstanding Paul totally. He says, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have offended in anything at all. So there's nothing he offended in regard to the law and the temple. Nothing, he says, that would have made the Jews mad. And he's a believer in Yahshua, but yet he didn't offend in it. See, this is important. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? Now see, Paul knows. So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender, have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Now see, this is Paul's Roman citizenship. And see, Paul may be a lot of things, but he's not going to be railroaded by a ruler when he knows the law. This, you know, Festus can't do anything about the law governing Roman citizens. And the Jews can't do anything either. They were dealing with somebody that was a Roman citizen in the Roman Empire, and he had a right to go to Caesar and appeal. Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar you will go. So there you go. He's going to be heading off to Rome. And what was he told? You must go to Rome. And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I had answered, it is not the custom of Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face. Now that sounds like America, doesn't it? And has the opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Now, she's explaining the law. This is important. Rome was not without law. Therefore, when they had come together without any delay the next day, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusations against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion, about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Isn't that amazing? He remembers that. And because I was uncertain of such question, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So, see, this is another ruler. It's amazing how this works. And in Acts, you find this with Paul. And, you know, you don't see this with Peter and some of the other apostles, but with Paul you do. And it doesn't mean that Peter and some of the others didn't appear before rulers. It's just that Paul did. And see, Paul was a Roman citizen, free-born Roman citizen, who had become one of the staunchest Pharisaical Jews that there ever was. He says he was blameless as concerning the law. And so there is a wonder here, you know, that in regards to Peter being the head of the church, as we suppose, as Scripture says, then where are all the writings of Peter? And so these are the things that you think about when you're reading stuff like this. And maybe a lot of stuff got lost that we don't have. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium, of course, this is what it's all about, pomp. This is the flesh, folks. Your flesh feels good. You know, you're a ruler and, you know, everybody, oh, here he comes, you know. Well, he's just a man, just a woman. That's all it is, just flesh. God's going to judge him too, you know. I mean, even the Ayatollahs over there, they're liars. They're serving the wrong God. They're coming against Israel. They're going to stand before the God, the true and living God. And they're going to stand before Yahshua, the Son of God. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, of course, you got to have everybody there, the prominent, you know, the rich and famous, the rich and infamous among us. At Festus' command, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men who are here, present with us. You see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any more. Now see, this is really hatred. You know, that would be a good book for him. Hatred gone too far. And they just didn't let it go. At no place did they let it go. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore I brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems to be unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Now you see, this is when we follow Paul, we think so much about, you know, the persecuted church and what they're facing. Now see, we've seen some injustice in this country too, and especially during Obama's rule, and we've seen Christians that had businesses that didn't want to do a certain thing, and they were forced to do it. And if they didn't do it, they were sued. They lost their businesses. And, of course, we've had a lot of excuses on that realm. I mean, a lot of events, a lot of things happen. And so it's not like America is without our own injustice in that matter concerning Christians. And of course, when you get overseas, you see a lot more of it. And these are the issues, you know. You get them before the authorities, and we've seen this before. You know, the authorities, for instance, in Pakistan, you know, didn't want some of this injustice going on. They've even tried to rein in the blasphemy rule because it was used improperly, and they even said as much. But it nothing happened. And so you have this fighting on this level. And see, in Paul's case, we see it in the same level. He's brought before the rulers. He's brought before the justice. And he has these virulent people that just hate his guts. And, you know, none of that has changed. That is the same thing today. And you may be sitting there as a Christian wondering, well, how am I going to get through this? Well, you're going to get through it by faith, the same way they did. And the same way they get through it overseas. You know, the Lord said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And these are the issues. And when we read the book of Acts, we see today happening. We go through this and we see it. And, you know, America, you think that this particular country is never going to see persecution to that effect. You know, but the bottom line of it is, this nation every day is following further and further into a pool of rebellion and a cesspool of iniquity. And your hope needs to be in the Lord every day. And you need to believe that He's the God of I am. I'm the God that I will. I'm the God that can. I am the one in charge. You need to believe that your God is bigger than what you're facing. You need to believe that no matter what happens, no matter, that this God can keep you. And He can keep your family. And if there's anything that the books of Acts teaches us, Paul was on the side of persecuting the church, and now he is on the side of the church and the Lord. And he's standing in the very place. You know, Paul stood there and watched Stephen get stoned and martyred. Now it's Paul standing there, and the Jews who killed Stephen, now they're looking at him and want him dead. Stephen was the first martyr, but Paul had a higher command. He had to go to Rome. See, there's a will of God involved here. Some people make it through, you know, and other people die. You have people persecuted and make it out, and other people that don't make it. But in the end, when you get before God, if you have Christ, you're redeemed. You have lost nothing. And you've gained everything. And this is about faith, folks. This is about life. This is about you and your family. And if you think you can live unto yourself, you can't. Nobody can in today's society. And you can get lost for a while in this society doing your own thing, but after a while, the payment will come due. One day, this society is going to face extensive trouble like it's never seen. This country will. Now, I don't want to be here at the time. But the fact of it is, I'm here because I've got loved ones too, and I've got people I care about, and we've got listeners. And we plan on keeping the Word of God going out as long as we can. And even when it gets tough, we plan on having a place where they can come to share online. But I can't do this alone. And there's those of you who know what I'm talking about. Because we're talking about the church here, current day, right now. The second chapter of Acts. That used to be a singing group. May still exist, but we're in the second portion of Acts. See, we're going to finish the book of Acts in our day. I believe that. I believe that I will see the Lord in my flesh. I believe, just as sure as I'm sitting here, I believe it's close. It's not going to happen tomorrow. There are a lot of things that has yet to happen. But you need to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I'm stopping there because I am at Well, my wind in here blew the pages. Chapter 26. I hear a voice. Yea, Lord, I hear. That was Tower, not the Lord. Okay, chapter 26. But at any rate, and I did read that out of the Word of God. Now, I do have the Word of God in my notes. I don't keep notes. I keep Scripture. That's what I do with it. Every once in a while when I do a study, I'll put in the Greek and some of that. But most of the time, it's like this. I was going through the Word. Read the Word. Teach the Word. Speak the Word. Believe the Word. Act on the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was not anything made that was not made by Him. Christ Himself said, "My words are spirit and they are life." When He comes again, and He's going to have the armies of God following Him, He's going to have across Him the Word of God. He is the incarnate Word of God. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and He is coming soon. That is who we serve. And He loves you. Father, bless this word to those who hear it. Help them to understand it, Lord. Encourage them, deliver them, be with them, Lord, and protect them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. And even when I lost the screen, guess what? Took a little bit, but I managed to get all the parts together, and we were able to finish the study. Okay, Tower. And so we are here, and we're glad that you have been listening and you've been joining us.
Okay.
I was wondering what happened to you.
Oh, nothing. I'm still back here.
You need to get away from the barbecue and get in here and pay attention.
Oh, I like Paul and his faith and his boldness and his fiery little spirit that he has.
Well, you know, you can tell, you know, that, you know, he stood right up and he said, you know, they, basically, these are a bunch of lies and these guys are liars.
Well, just like you said, nothing's changed with the devil. They bring false accusers even to this day.
They do.
Against the brethren.
And see, that's why it's important when we're covering this. You know, this is in today. You know, we're living the book of Acts now. You and I cover the news. You know? And
yeah.
You know, I'm not exaggerating a bit when we talk about the fact of what we've been covering overseas.
I know. We see positive things happen from the persecution.
We see
people getting saved just like back then.
We see them getting delivered.
Yeah. And healed.
Yeah, and healed. That one we did, was it this week where he was being persecuted? He was thrown in jail. He's a believer. And there was some believers in there in jail, and he started praying with them.
Yeah. Well, I think last week we did that.
Yeah. And so he ended up praying for some of those who were persecuting him, one in particular, and he got healed instantly.
Yeah, he was the instigator of it all.
Yeah, and people started getting saved right there because of the healing.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to die. Now see, this is what we're seeing over there. Of course, these stories, we do not give you names, and the ministry that has these do not give names that to protect the ones, because it's that dangerous over there.
That's right.
You got to protect them. And so there are things happening, and in your world, if you're going through trouble, believe God.
Amen.
Seek Him, because He can deliver you. Hang in there. And so we're a little bit past 50, but we're going to cut her off right now because of certain computer troubles and things, but we did get through the show right now, and I've still got to find out what happened, which I have not a clue.
Oh, it sure is frustrating to have all these little issues. They're a pain.
Well, yeah, they are, but we always fix them.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. They were supposed to bring an update, and
An update to fix the update.
You know, and that might have been what it was. They might have been updating it. It would have totally gone off if we would have done that, though. So I don't know. I really don't know. So at any rate...
Be sure to join us tomorrow night for part one of Hebrews Revelation of His Son, Last Days.
Yep. And we'll see you.
Thank you for joining us. God bless you. We love you. We pray for you. We thank you for all you do.
Amen. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman. And for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.